Breakfast with Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer.
Well, didn't this decision that was announced yesterday send shockwaves through Australian media? The High Court has dismissed an appeal by some of Australia's biggest media outlets, including the Sydney Morning Herald and The Australian, finding they are publishers of third-party comments on Facebook pages. Now, this ruling's been prompted by the former Northern Territory detainee Dylan Voller after allegedly defamatory remarks were posted on their Facebook sites. Now, the Herald has a big editorial on this today, and they say the Herald can now be sued for the hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments by readers under each of the 50 articles it publishes on its Facebook page every day. And they go on to say that some organisations which lack the Herald's resources may decide they have to turn off comments on their Facebook pages because of the risk they will be sued for comments made by random users.
Well, yesterday Richard Glover spoke with Professor Barbara McDonald from the University of Sydney Law School about what it means from a legal perspective.
It's a really significant decision. It opens them up to significant liability, I think, unless they take steps to monitor and screen the posts that people might put on, where they have invited, where they've set up a page where they're inviting comments and it's free for people to put comments on, then I think, you know, they're opening themselves up to significant liability. Some people might actually close their Facebook pages to third-party comments, which may or may not be, a good thing. Obviously, it will inhibit freedom of speech. That's not always a bad thing, of course. People do make vile comments sometimes when they have free rein to do so. But it certainly, I suppose, reduces the potential for the involvement of multiple voices and views.
Well, Peter Frey joins us this morning. He's Managing Editor of Private Media, which includes crikey.com.au. So that's an independent outfit. But he has also been the Editor-in-Chief at the Sydney Morning Herald, the former Editor of the Canberra Times and the Sunday Age, and former Deputy Editor of The Australian and a Professor in journalism practice. So he's seen this from all sides, I would imagine, and he joins us now. G'day, Peter.
G'day, Wendy. Hi, Bobby.
Well, I guess, you know, a lot of people listening to this will be thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe it's about time. I don't have a lot of sympathy for some of these big outfits that maybe post something on Facebook and then let it rip. Your thoughts?
You know, I can understand why some people would think that. I think the bottom line here is two things. If we think about defamation, defamation is always the balance between the personal reputation and freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what the law is all about. That's why we have a defamation law. What, of course, the current law doesn't really account for is the world in which we live in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the laws that were currently made and are applied by the High Court today or yesterday are really made in a world where it was about paper and things on books and newsprint and things like that. Of course, we all know the world has dramatically changed. So what this ruling does is, as the comments of the legal professor on Richard's show, you know, yes, this is a blow to freedom of speech. There's no doubt about it. The balance between personal reputation and freedom of speech has now shifted away from freedom of speech. Mm. And it will force publishers like ours. We will, this morning, in fact, we're meeting very soon to discuss our first response to this. I think we probably will have to stop posting on Facebook because we can't moderate the comments on Facebook. Yeah. It's not like the letters pages to the Herald, where there was a letters editor who sifted through, you know, the several hundred letters that the Herald used to get a day and then picked the eyes out of it, and there was editorial control over that. There's no editorial control about what happens on Facebook. And so, yes, I think there is a real danger here that the public square has suddenly got quite a lot smaller. Mm. And I think that's a bad moment for our democracy.
Peter, you say it's bad for freedom of speech. What about for journalism itself, though? Do you think all those comments, they're responding to stories, essentially? Does it change the way that the stories are going to be written? Could it potentially even improve the stories or the way that they're placed?
Well, that's a great question, Robbie, because I think one of the great things about social is that it enables you to tap into if you like, the vibe, what's what people are saying. And we get stories out of what, you know, people post and all sorts of things. At the same time, of course, and you know, to your point, I think, you know, there's no one's saying that Facebook or Twitter or they're sewers, really. They're full of horrible things. And, you know, that's one of the great regrettable moments of our, you know, the world we live in, you know. Facebook in particular and Twitter are great tools for journalists to, if you like, get away from the somewhat sort of elites that control the media, if you like. You know, there's been a lot of academic work about this, how the debates are controlled by, you know, people who have power. Well, one of the great things about social media, of course, is that democratization of the debate, that everyone can get a say. Now, if we cut that off, the voices won't be heard.
Well, that's right. Peter, you and I would both remember the days of newspapers. They were sort of these citadels, really, that could not be breached in many ways unless you hand wrote a letter and, as you say, had it chosen to be in the letters page. But there is no doubt, of course, that some media outlets, you know, use social media to sort of dump an article with the sort of clickbait article. And then, as I say, just let these comments roll. I mean, and there are some tools that you can use on Facebook to sort some comments.
Yes. When are you there?
Yeah, I am. And I what I'm really saying is that I guess, you know, is there room here, though? I know that you're saying this is a decision that's not been made, understanding, you know, modern technology and communications. But is there not room in here as well for some outlets to maybe clean up their act?
Yeah, and I think you won't get any argument for me that there are some outrageous things done using Facebook and other social platforms that are really just about fueling outrage. I mean, one of the saddest parts of the news media landscape we live in is the sort of it repays outrage, and people get more and more outrageous and say more and more outrageous things, and it becomes this terrible vicious cycle. Mm. I agree with that. But, of course, the other argument to that is that we are, in a sense, the news media and others are playing with the tools they've been given. Everyone's trying to make a buck, you know, and we all know that advertising disappeared, disappeared online, and then it kind of moved from sort of, if you like, broad online into social spaces. And, you know, if the business model is based on advertising and you believe that there's a, you know, a right, you know, you have a right to free speech, you have a right to publish, then you've got to find a way of making money out of it. Mm. I think the answer here is, and I think in New South Wales, the Attorney General is, you know, I think is doing some good work on defamation. Mm. I do think there needs to be a kind of revisit of the law. There's been a suggestion, for instance, that there's a kind of safe harbour clause for news media, that they are, if they can prove that they didn't know, you know, what was being said on the, say, their Facebook page, then they're actually not liable. But if they did know and they didn't do anything about it, then they are liable. That seems to me like a sensible way through this. Because I think we all benefit from a robust media. Mm. The last thing we want, I think, in this country is to have, you know, with all greatest respect to the ABC, you know, the ABC and News Corp. I think we want, you know, we want diversity of voices.
Of course.
And therefore, we need to sort of get down in the weeds here and work out how we do that.
This sort of obviously ties into a broader conversation around defamation laws in Australia. And we're told repeatedly that our defamation laws are askew in some ways, in many ways.
Well, I mean, there is a review underway at the moment.
Yeah. But I wonder what your perspective on that is, Peter, when it comes to, you know, being a publisher in Australia, whether outside of the comments section that we're talking about here, on a broader scale, what do you think about the laws as they stand?
Mm. Well, to Wendy's point, there has been a review and there are changes afoot and there are changes been enacted on the 1st of July, which make it a little bit easier. The bottom line here is that defamation becomes so expensive. As soon as you take that first step, if you're a small independent publisher like Private Media is, the first thing you have to think about is, can I afford this? Because if we lose this and it costs us $500,000, then you know that's a big thing, a really big thing. And so you're putting – so the risk and reward equation is too far imbalanced away from the publisher, if I – excuse my tortured language. But it is that. It's that we need laws that encourage free debate. Obviously, we're going to protect personal reputation, and there needs to be responsible publishing. At the moment, we're still too skewed and too away from the publisher. And as I said earlier, you know, we haven't really truly recognised that we live in this different digital universe.
So
anyone can be a publisher now, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was going to ask that. What does it mean for those who say they run a personal Facebook page, say they run a community Facebook page, which there are a lot of them about now, of course, replacing what used to be suburban newspapers, which have all but disappeared. I wonder how they are impacted by this, Peter.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. This is a profound ruling for all of us. It's not just the news media. It's not just the Sydney Morning Heralds or even the Crikeys of the world. It's actually, as you say, for people who are engaged in, Ultimo Living Facebook page, those sorts of places are going to have to be careful now about what they enable people to publish on and say on Facebook. Because I mean, we've all been on those pages and we've seen some terrible things that are said.
Yeah.
Well, someone's going to be liable now.
Yep. And I guess part of this, as you say, is to revisit the law and update it in terms of how we communicate these days. That's got to happen as well.
Absolutely. And, maybe you should get the New South Wales Attorney General on. I think he would have a few things to say about that. And, this is another prompt. This is a real prompt. And this will affect a lot of people, not just journalists. And this will affect a lot of people. And we need to act on this.
Well, hopefully people might be a bit nicer on social media too. You never know.
They know they're going to get sued. Maybe they will.
Hey, Peter, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, indeed.
Peter Frey, the Managing Editor of Private Media, which includes crikey.com.au, and he's had a lot of experience when it comes to media. He's the former Deputy Editor of The Australian, a former University of Technology Sydney Professor of Journalism, ex-ed-in-chief of the Sydney Morning Herald, Canberra Times, Sunday Age, etc., etc., etc. He must be very tired. It's 12 to 8.
Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.